Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Seth Wickersham, who's covered this story going back to when he, I guess, broke it a couple of years ago that there was a rift between Brady and Belichick, or Belichick and Robert Kraft, over Jimmy Garoppolo and who should be the quarterback of the New England Patriots. So if you print it out, which I did for my son, it's 10 pages. Of course, there's some beautiful pictures, which is art in the print world. It reads pretty quick. It's about 3 pages long. My takeaway is that we're going to be left thinking that Belichick was an immovable object. He was unchangeable. He was unwilling to bend. He didn't want them to have fun. He didn't want to involve Brady in any part of the process. And so Brady had no choice but to leave. That's what you're being told by the narrative. Now, let's set a couple things straight. First thing is, we haven't, nor will we, hear Bill Belichick's side. He's not going to share it. He doesn't need to. Secondly, you're going to get people that say, you know, Brady wants to break free of the Belichick thing so he gets credit. He gets credit for winning those Super Bowls. Okay, this is all a bunch of bull crap, is what it is. It's all a bunch of bull. The idea that Brady hasn't gotten the proper amount of credit for winning Super Bowls. Tom Brady is generally considered the greatest of all time. You can't get any more freaking credit than being called the greatest of all time. I don't believe that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, but he's the most accomplished. And kind of like Derek Jeter, he got so many opportunities to be clutch, and then he came through at times in the clutch, that we'll call him the greatest of all time because no one's going to accomplish six Super Bowl wins, 9 Super Bowls. It's very, very, very unlikely. So this idea that Brady is not getting credit, this all feels like people making excuses. And I know where it's coming from. I know where the leak is. I know who the Yoko Ono is. This from Seth Wickersham. The team was defending their 5th Super Bowl, and for the first time, Brady used his platform to advocate a philosophy other than the Patriot way. He used it to advocate his own business, TB12 Sports, and its accompanying book, The TB12 Method, which he wrote with the help of his trainer and friend, Alex Guerrero. The issues in the Patriots building caused by the method, how it pitted players against the team's training staff, how Belichick felt it forced him to curtail Guerrero's access, as are widely reported and well known. Don't you understand what happens? Belichick did allow for 2 sets of rules. He did allow Brady to become a superstar. Brady was helicoptering in and out of games because if you've ever been to Foxborough, you know there's one road in, one road out. It's a joke. He allowed his trainer access to the team. And what did the trainer do? Those Patriot guys don't know what they're doing. Oh, too much heavy lifting. The method works. Anytime a guy would get hurt, there's Alex Guerrero going, see? Now, keep in mind that Alex Guerrero not only trained Brady, who, of course, has had great elasticity at his position and is going to play at 43 and 44 and probably 45 years old, but Julian Edelman trained with him one offseason, came back and tore his ACL in a non-contact injury, then trained with him and came back and popped it for PEDs. Right? Dude, Guerrero is the leak. Guerrero is the guy, is the Yoko Ono to this thing. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't like you. He doesn't want you to build your own brand. Where in Belichick, I'll defend him here. Twofold. One, this is a lot, you know, President Trump got crushed, and rightfully so, for how he's bullied the media at these press conferences and said just awful things to him. But here's where I'll defend him. He's been doing this for 4 years, and it's worked for him. For Belichick, he's been doing this for 20 years, and it's worked for him. And the only time that he's relented, the only time that he's let a guy be a superstar and have his own trainer on their facility, in their facility, have his own helicopter pick him up and drop him off after games, have two sets of rules, it's come back to bite him in the ass. You think he wants to do that again? I'm Belichick. I feel better about the Patriot way. The Patriot way has worked. And Brady's pulling into superstar and pulling into doing, having fun. Like, didn't we learn anything from the Eagles? Even in the, and I read the article, which some of it is old reporting, some of it is new stuff, where Brady was unhappy after they gave up 612 yards of offense to the Philadelphia Eagles. No one failed to mention in that article that the Patriots spent the offseason fixing the defense, and it's been one of the league's best the last 2 years. So you ask a guy to evolve a little and let other people in, he does, and Guerrero comes back to question his every move. And the kicking Guerrero off the premises, this is, have you guys ever seen When Harry Met Sally? Ramos, you know When Harry Met Sally, right?
I have seen the movie.
Meg Ryan, back when Meg Ryan was hot. And
it was a Billy Crystal.
Billy Crystal, right? And Billy Crystal, of course, says early on in the movie, now never take her to the airport early in the relationship, because then later in the relationship, if you don't take her to the airport, like, why don't you take me to the airport anymore, right? If you allow Alex Guerrero access to your facilities, and then later on, you don't allow Alex Guerrero access to the facilities, like, why don't you let Alex Guerrero have access to the facilities anymore? Had you never done that, had you never relented, maybe none of this breakup happens. Had Yoko Ono never been with John, maybe the Beatles stay together. I'm not saying that the complaints aren't warranted. Okay. And over any 20-year relationship, from friendship to marriage to working for the same company for 20 years, you are going to have your frustrations. But when it gets to the point of, I got to go and show and get respect and do it my own way. How much more respect can you get than being called the greatest quarterback of all time or the greatest player of all time? That's nonsense. That comes from somebody who's sore. That comes from somebody who's insecure. That comes from somebody who doesn't feel valued, who doesn't feel respected. That comes from Alex Guerrero. He's the Yoko.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Now, look, I think this all makes sense, but I think it still looks really bad for Cam Newton. So Kyle Allen today, and you're going to hear this from Dan Byer. Sorry, Dan, it's like one of his top stories. Kyle Allen was traded today from the Carolina Panthers, whom he started for last year, to the Washington Redskins. Of course, his coach, one of his quarterback coach as well, are both now in D.C. Now, I don't believe that Kyle Allen is being brought in to start over Dwayne Haskins. I think that Kyle Allen completely understands the idea of what it means to be a backup. He's a backup. Like, he's just, you know, and a backup quarterback, especially when you have as much invested in the quarterback position as the Redskins do, they don't just have the draft equity and the money with Dwayne Haskins. They're still paying Alex Smith. Yeah, he's still getting paid. So you got all of that draft capital. You're like, all right, we're bringing in a guy who can play. He's not great. He's not a full-time starter. Can play, but he's not a starter. He's not going to beat Dwayne Haskins. But he understands what it's about in terms of how much money he makes. He understands what it's about in terms of his role in the team. And he knows the system. He knows what Ron Rivera wants. he's going to be a conduit between the coach and the quarterback. But, okay, where's Cam Newton going to play next year? If his former head coach does not have an absolute certainty at quarterback and needs to acquire a quarterback and trades for a quarterback with the Carolina Panthers, and it's not Cam Newton. Keep in mind the Buffalo Bills, their staff also came from Carolina. Now, I know they have Josh Allen, but Cam Newton, and Cam Newton's not going to Buffalo to be the backup to Josh Allen. And they do play somewhat similarly. Mobile quarterback, big arm, not that accurate. And it might be a really good place where he could kind of reinvigorate his career, but he'd have to sit some because the other guy is the starter. He'd probably have to rework his contract. And they have Matt Barkley, who's like the perfect. Matt Barkley's one of those backups, right? He's like, he's still in the league, has been through every system, knows the system, zero ego, probably makes like $1.5 million per year. And his only goal is to make Josh Allen better every day. This is where Cam Newton stuck. Cam Newton has always been about Cam Newton. And a backup quarterback is supposed to be about the other guy. And now you have the, hey, if Ron Rivera doesn't want him, why do I want him? If Carolina doesn't want him, why do I want him? Remember, Carolina signed Teddy Bridgewater to a 3-year, $20 million a year deal. How much money is Cam Newton set to make this year? 19. What they're telling you is we'd rather have Teddy Bridgewater, who hasn't been a full-time starter. His passes average the fewest yards per in the air per attempt of anybody in the league. We'd rather have Teddy Bridgewater for slightly more money and a longer-term deal than we would with Cam Newton. And I understand that I've been telling you that Bridgewater made sense because the offensive coordinator was with him in New Orleans. I understand all that. But the reality is, if you're sitting around the league and you're like, I don't know, what do you guys think about Cam Newton? Well, Carolina doesn't want him. Rivera doesn't want him. Bills don't want him. He's never played really in another system. He's a runner who doesn't run anymore, and he's not a terribly accurate thrower. Where do I sign up? Really bad news from Cam Newton.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Let's welcome in the Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, who joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Saw you did the one push-up challenge. You got, you're still just getting shots up every day, right? Nothing really changes about your life, only that you can't have people come over to play hoop at your gym.
I know. That's the bummer. I can't compete, so I got to find ways. But I got a few shots up with my son today. I haven't shot too much. I've been throwing more. I've had some different guys over to throw, and my son working with my son plays in Nebraska as a wide receiver. My other son's a quarterback. So we've been out throwing and playing football more than we've played basketball. So unfortunately, I haven't been on the court too much. How about you? Are you able to get any shots up?
Yeah, we actually got we got a Dr. Dish machine. I know you have the other machine. We have the Dr. Dish machine, and we've been getting my son's been getting a couple hundred up. I got 500 up on Saturday. I was sore on Sunday from getting somebody up. So yeah, I'll be ready to be your wingman next time in the area. You've done this before. One, you played for Bruce Arians. Two, late in your career, you've changed to a different scheme, different verbiage, different style. You've seen all of this stuff. How difficult do you think it's going to be for Brady at this point in his career to assimilate to what Bruce Arians wants to do?
Well, I mean, I think there's going to be a transition, and I think there's going to have to be some give and take. And that always becomes, I think, the hardest part is that not always just the player becoming familiar with the coach and the system, but the coach also having to get familiar with the player and what the player does well and how that affects how he might think or see the game. And so there is a transition period because Tom Brady doesn't necessarily play or hasn't necessarily played the way Bruce Arians likes to play, although there's, of course, you know, crossover in all offenses and crossover in the two offenses, you know, where the Patriots have been and where, you know, Tampa or where Bruce Arians has been. But that's the fascinating part is how much is it about Tom Brady? How much is it about Bruce Arians? How do they find the mix? How quickly can that mesh happen. And that to me is going to be the fascinating part. I've always believed that in most offenses it takes about a year to fully grasp all the nuances, exactly what you're trying to do and some of the adjustments and, you know, what you're seeing and what you expect guys to do. But then there's situations like I think when Peyton Manning went to Denver, where he brought a lot of his stuff. You know, it was kind of like, yeah, you know, we're going to come here and they've got an offensive coordinator and everything, but we're going to do what I do, you know. And, you know, you just wonder how that's going to work between these two and what that conversation is going to be like. Is Tom Brady kind of open to, hey, I want to learn a new system. I want to learn more. I want to, you know, try something new. Or is it, hey, I just want to have success. This is what I do well. How can we mesh this offense around, you know, some of the things we've done in the past?
Kurt Warner joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. You mentioned two different styles, right? Bruce wants to push the ball down the field. I mean, in your Super Bowl year with Arizona, people used to forget that. You used to almost just throw the ball up to Larry and Larry go get it. Like it was very different from what you did when you were in St. Louis, where, you know, you had so many crossing routes and finding Marshall out in the flat. Just the style wise, isn't Brady a short and underneath guy? He is the no risk guy. Whereas I got the impression Arians was the no risk at no biscuit guy.
Right. No. Yeah. I mean, I think that's, you know, that's a big part of, you know, kind of the mentality. And the thing is it's not that Tom can't do that. It's just what he's become accustomed to is kind of playing what we call small ball, playing, you know, inside the numbers, around the hashes is where they loved to attack when he was in New England. And now you have Bruce Arians who loves to attack outside the numbers and loves to attack down the field. And so it is. It's the fascinating part of this whole thing and how it plays out. Because, you know, when I went from St. Louis and then came over here to Arizona, a big part of when we started really having success, there were a number of things that were similar scheme-wise to what we did in St. Louis. And the bottom line was simply, here's how we're built, and this is what I do well. And that really comes back to what teams want to do. If you have a quarterback that's really good at something, you want to try to fit your system around that. But you also have a coordinator that's been great and has, you know, won Super Bowls and done those types of things. And so, again, how does that marriage work? You know, where's the give and take? Who wins out at the end of the day? And, you know, can they mesh together? Because so much to me of playing the game and having success on Sundays is being able to kind of see and understand what your coordinator, your play designer is doing on different plays. And that meshing with how you see the game and how it translates on the field, Josh McDaniels and Tom did that as well as anybody. Does that same mesh and marriage take place between Coach Arians and Tom will be something that I think we all have our eye on, and it's going to be fascinating.
Kurt Warner joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. You've been a league MVP who was forced to be a backup. Cam Newton's a league MVP who, at 30 years old, the possibilities of him being a starter seem to be shrinking by the day. If Cam was to call you and say, Kurt, you've been here before and you found a way to find a second life in your career, how would you proceed if you were Cam Newton?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I'm assuming Cam's going to have a few opportunities. You know, the hard thing for me was I didn't necessarily have a lot of opportunities to choose from. But, you know, talking to Cam, I think there's two things. I think the first thing you look for is the offense. When you talk to whatever team, does the offense fit what you think you do well? Yeah, because that to me is where it has to start. And then secondly, do you get the sense from the team that there's going to be a true competition? Guys like Cam, guys that, you know, play at the highest level, when I was going through it, I never worried about competing. I never worried about being given the number one spot. What I worried about was I going to go somewhere where they said, quote unquote, it was a competition, but I knew it wasn't. And that's the hardest thing about the business is that people say a lot of things. You need to find a spot where you truly believe there's a competition, and then you go win the job. And, you know, a big part of that is making sure the system fits you, of course, so you can put your best foot forward. But, you know, you have to talk to the coach, and you have to believe that coach will truly allow you a chance to compete. And that was what I was fortunate to have in Arizona with Coach Wisenhunt, is Was I skeptical? Of course I was skeptical. I'd heard it before from different people, and it's a hard thing to do, especially when you have a younger quarterback or somebody that's been there, whatever. But I was fortunate that I found a situation where the coach said it's a competition. It's an open competition. Whoever's the better guy for the job will get the job. And to me, I will take that any day of the week, twice on Sundays, and I think that's what Cam needs to find, or any of these quarterbacks. You know, Jameis Winston, if it turns out Andy Dalton, whatever, I don't know if any of them are going to be just given a starting spot. But can you find a place that fits you better and that you truly believe you can compete? And then you go and compete, and you go show people who you are and what you can be. And, you know, I think those guys have to be hoping for a situation like that.
There's an article out, Seth Wickersham, basically paints the picture of Belichick unwilling to bend and Brady finally having kind of enough of it and moving on to Tampa. I'll defend Belichick from a couple of different angles. One, this has always worked for him. Secondly, I mean, like, look, he did allow Alex Guerrero on their premises before it turned ugly, because I'm sure Alex Guerrero, when somebody would get hurt or not play well, would mumble underneath his breath, "You should have done it our way," right? Like, that's why you don't allow private trainers to work, you know, on a team's facility. How much of the blame should Bill Belichick take in Tom Brady's departure?
Yeah, I don't know if he should take any more than you put on Tom. I think the bottom line was, and I've heard a lot of people that, you know, have been in New England, and they'll tell you, it's a hard place to play. It's a hard place to be because of how they do things and how Bill Belichick does things and the way they push the envelope and the way that they, you know, they work and how it's a football, 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 you know. And I've heard people that just go, you know, it was great for this period of time, but it was hard. It just wore on you, and it wasn't necessarily something I wanted to keep doing. Or, you know, players that go back to coaching and you know, maybe have played there, and they're like, I don't necessarily want to go there and coach because of how they do things. And I think that's a tough place, and it worked for a long time, and it had a great deal of success. And that's where I think it gets hard, is if you're Bill Belichick and it's always worked and it's been good and you've been able to kind of keep the reins on this thing, and, you know, you're arguably the best quarter or best coach that's ever coached in our game. I mean, why would you ever change? Why would you ever get away from that? Even though it's Tom Brady, and as great as he is, and he might want some things on his end, I think just ultimately it came down to, we both have had great success together, and it's been a great marriage, but now it's time to just try something different.
Yep.
And, you know, and it comes to that. You know, usually it doesn't come to that after this many years, because most guys can't sustain it like that. But I really think that's what it came down to, and I think it came down to Tom just kind of going, I want to try it somewhere else. I want to see what else is out there and what life is like not under Bill Belichick and not a New England Patriot, and so be it. And I'm excited, like everyone else, to see what that's going to look like. And, you know, I hope at the end of the day it doesn't become, oh, well, look, I showed you, you know, that, you know, we could have success without you, or I could have success. You know, I hope it's just simply, hey, both guys go do their thing, and hopefully they continue to have success. And it just becomes, hey, we needed to have a change. Both of us, we got the change. We wish each other well, and we move on.
Phillip Rivers thought about retiring. He decides to come back, plays for, you know, now he's got a chance with Frank Reich, a guy who was his coordinator back with the Chargers. He's going to play indoors, too. Now, he played in good weather, but indoors changes things. The two places you had the most success was indoors, in St. Louis and in Arizona. How much does an offensive line indoors help an older quarterback?
Well, offensive line helps any quarterback. Doesn't matter what age you are. That's going to be huge. The ability to run the football, I think, will be huge for Phillip Rivers. You know, indoors, again, I think there's obviously, when you know, when you show up on Sundays and you know that, you know, the conditions are going to be what they are, you don't have to worry about that stuff. Yeah, I think that's always a benefit, you know, because you want to just go in and play and not have to worry about any other circumstances that may enter in. And so I think that helps. I think the bottom line with Phillip is, I think he's got a really good team that can do a lot of things really well. You couple his talent with it, they've got a chance to be very successful. I just don't think he can press. I think what we saw the last couple of years, yeah, was an older quarterback getting towards the end, hadn't accomplished what he wanted from a team Super Bowl standpoint, and he was just trying to make every play and trying to make every throw. And, you know, there's a part of that that the great quarterbacks and the gunslingers always have, but you have to be able to get out of your own way at times and allow the game to come to you and allow throws to come to you. And I really felt like he's been pressing the last couple years, and now here he is, one-year deal, new situation. That's what I'm looking for, is Philip is a really good quarterback and has been for a long time. But he can't hurt them by trying to make every play and trying to prove that this is the year he's going to get to the Super Bowl. Just got to play football. Yep. And if he plays football, he's got plenty left. He's a great leader. He's a great competitor, and he's going to make that team better.
Anything you want to announce for yourself this upcoming season? If you want to, you can now. Anything you want to say?
No, not yet. Okay. Not yet. I'm just, you know, spending my time getting ready and throwing with my boys, and nothing yet, though. We've got a lot of stuff to worry about it right now.
All right. Well, let us know when let us know if and when. In the meantime, enjoy your enjoy your lovely family as you always do, and thanks so much for being our guest.
You bet, my man. Stay safe, and we'll talk soon.
All right, it's Kurt Warner at Kurt13Warner. You guys.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Let's welcome in the Hall of Famer, Eric Dickerson. He joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show. ED, have you seen the Rams' new logo?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I just got the phone with some of the guys. We had a call in just a minute ago. To the team that helped kind of put the logo together.
What'd you think?
No. Don't like it. I mean, I think I'm like most people, you know.
All of them? I mean, like, because I do like the new Ram head. Like, there's actually a head of a Ram.
The head, like the bone head? Like
yes.
The one like a skeleton
yes.
head?
Yes. Kind of like
that's
that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's all right. That ain't great. That's okay. I mean, that one is cool. I mean, really, I think that I think we'll use that as like the logo for like wear, like, you know, like, you know, sportswear. I don't think that's going to be the logo on the helmet. But, you know, it's like anything. Like, I asked the guys, I said, why mess with something that's good?
Right.
I said, it's like the Cowboys don't change their logo. The Raiders don't change their logo.
Right.
Colts who in Indianapolis.
Right.
I mean, when Baltimore, why? I mean, why? I mean, it doesn't
preach!
Make sense.
Preach!
Yeah.
What was the answer? To sell
really
more stuff?
No answer. It was really no answer because you have no answer. It's no answer to that. You know, it's like, yeah, you're right. But, you know, it's just something that, you know, because, you know, L.A., feel like the team is in St. Louis, that they're coming back to L.A. and this and that. But I said, that has nothing to do with nothing.
No, nobody. I mean, you tell them, Gottlieb said, I've lived here. I was born here. No one thinks of them as the St. Louis Rams. Ever.
No one.
No one.
No one does. Even though the players played there, you know, you give them respect for playing. Because
sure.
Anybody playing under the Ram logo,
yeah.
No matter where they were, they still played for the Rams. I don't care if they're in St. Louis, if they're in, they could have been in Istanbul. They could be in the Istanbul Rams, whatever. But the logo, nah, I'm not feeling it. I just don't like it. And I hope to God that they don't change the logo on the helmet. You know, put that on the helmet. Because if they put that on the helmet, that's going to be a disaster.
Okay, so what are your thoughts on how they handled Todd Gurley?
You know, I don't think it was done right. I think it was a kind of like it's almost like makeshift. I mean, I feel like Todd deserved better than that. I mean, I really think he deserved a lot better. If you're gonna release him, don't put it out to the whole world. You know, like, hey, we're gonna talk about trading Todd Gurley. Now we're gonna cut him, and then all of a sudden, when you want to try to moving, you know, everyone knows you're talking about cutting. I talked to Todd, and Todd said that, you know, they want to try to get some draft pick, get a draft pick for me, and then somebody take that contract. He said, man, well, nobody going to do that. They know that people know they're going to cut me, possibly cut me. So he said, I wouldn't do it. I mean, Todd was good. He's good. I mean, he's good with it. I just feel like that he earned the respect to be treated better than that. That's just my opinion, but we know this is the world of football. I mean, that's how football is. You see that, you know, they traded Tom Brady. They let Tom Brady go in free agency. So, you know, in this sport, you have to have thick skin. Let's just be honest.
Mm-hmm. Eric, but
I'll say this.
Yes.
What the hell are we going to do at running back? I mean, because I'm just going to be honest. I mean, we are not right now. You know what? This is how I always felt this. I felt this the last 2 years, even when Todd had his really good year, the year before we went to Super Bowl. And then last year, I said, we really want to throw the football. Mm-hmm. That is what we want to do. I mean, if you want to have an identity, but our identity is really throwing the ball. And Todd said it to me. He said, we are a throwing football team. He said, I'm telling you, that's what we do. We don't really want to run the football. I mean, don't get me wrong, I have faith in our coaches and stuff. But you have to run the ball. You have to have an identity. And you tell me, Doug, what was the Rams' identity last year?
I don't really think they had one. I think it was just a mishmash.
They didn't have one.
Yeah.
They didn't have one. Sometimes they had Jared Goff throw the ball 68, 69 times, and it was terrible. He threw it 58 times. It was terrible. Then we'd come back. We'd mix it up. We'd run it and throw it, and it was better. I mean, look, I know our offensive line was beat up, you know, and that's part of it. You know, when your offensive line is hurt, it's hard to do anything. And people, I don't think a lot of people realize that, but we had some problems with offensive line, banged up. You know, guys hurt. You know, guys got traded. Guys went we got on new contracts, other teams. But if it starts with that offensive line, if we can't protect the quarterback or get the running back places to run, it's not going to happen.
So, Tom Brady's in Tampa now. What are the how big a challenge do you think that's going to be for him to learn a new system and to play for a guy that really likes to throw the ball down the field?
Well, Bruce Arians is a coach. I really like Bruce Arians. I like him. I think he'll do well there. I think he will most definitely, you know, do as well for the team and for Tom Brady to help them win. I think Tampa has a good offensive line. At least they showed it against us. Defense is not bad. Good wide receiver. Are they going to the Super Bowl? I would probably say they're not going to the Super Bowl, I don't think. But, you know, you never know. Anything could happen if you're on a hot run. But I think Tom will do fine there. I think he'll do good there. I mean, it's hard to make a change going to a new team. It really is. And I left the Rams and wearing that – and I only played for the Rams for almost 5 years, 4.5 years. Putting on that coach uniform, it was odd. It's odd walking to a locker room. Everything is different because you're used to your setup that you have, that you played for. He played there for 20 years. Think about that. Not 10, not 5, not 15, but 20 seasons.
That's crazy.
Been in New England.
Crazy.
You know, it's hard. Your mindset will still go back in New England. In his heart, let me tell you this here. When I left the Rams, in my heart, I was heartbroken. I really was because I wanted to always be a Ram. You know, as a man, on the outside, you know, you show like I'm not going to show like I'm hurt. But I guarantee you, his feelings are hurt. They have to be because he gave so much to that organization. He gave them 6 Super Bowls. Could have been 7, could have been 8. But he gave them 6 Super Bowls. No player's ever done that. And for them to, in a sense, like, okay, you can take this or you can go on your way. I mean, to me, it should have made that work some kind of way. But, like I said, once again, this is football, so you got to have thick skin.
How much do you think Philip Rivers has left in the tank?
Man, Philip throws a lot of interceptions. I think Philip has – he tried to squeeze the ball in. He really can't move. He can't run. I'm not sure as a quarterback. He can throw the football. But is that going to work in Indianapolis? I mean, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to say no. I'm gonna say it's going to be one and done. That's just my opinion. I think Philip is a Hall of Famer now. I mean, personally, I don't think he's the first ballot Hall of Famer, but I think he's a Hall of Famer for sure. That's just my opinion, and I'm just saying it. But I think he's a Hall of Famer, but I just don't think that's going to work in Indy. I mean, I think that, you know, they should have gave Bissett another shot. Or better yet, I mean, I think Tom Brady would have been great there. I mean, I think he'd have been good there.
Yeah, he's not going to go play. That organization's more Peyton's team, you know. I'm sure they
would. I know that's you're right. That's a Peyton Manning team, and Tom going, that'd have been kind of odd. But hey, you know what? This is football. It's not about you know what you like, what you don't like. It's about winning. That's what it comes down to. Winning Super Bowls. That's what each team cares about.
E, great to catch up with you, man. Hope you're doing well, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Doug.
That's Eric Dickerson.